They speak to the metaverse, but act like you know. You are now tuned into the Matthew and Rizzo show. Escape to the metaverse. Better act like you know. You are now tuned into the Matthew and Rizzo show.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, man.
Let's go.
Yeah.
What is good, dude?
What's up, dude? How you been?
Good, man. Coming off, bender last week, but right into a beautiful weekend. Like, finally, a nice little chill week on our end. Nifty's doing some work, so focusing on that. And, yeah, enjoying the coffee, enjoying the transition to much better weather, basically.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Same on my end, man. I feel like I needed a week to recover, like we were saying, after going to NYC and then a few other things on the back end. I'm feeling back on top of things and everything. And it's cool, man. I mean, market's sort of in the gutter. Taxes are a thing that, like, had to occur for, like, a lot of people over the weekend and everything. But honestly, I mentioned something about it that nobody cared about. But I feel like, man, I finally fucking learned something over the past several years about tax loss harvesting, and like saw some opportunities in the bear market, and I'd never really like messed with that before, and I'm like, now is the time to do it. And over the past year, I didn't sell a whole lot from my collection or anything, so I had very negligible like profits in that regard. So I saw the benefits of tax loss harvesting, man. And you had like mentioned it and like put it in my ear like a long time ago, and not that I hadn't heard about it, but you were like a strong advocate for it and everything. And I feel very smart, man. Like I've learned something and become wiser in my experience and old age around here.
Boom. Love to hear it. On that point, remind me after we're done recording. I have a request on that front for something, but we can pick that up there. But yeah, shout out everyone who got their taxes in on time, or at least filed the extension and paid like estimated taxes on time yesterday or 2 days ago. It's already Wednesday. Welcome to the adult world, or glad to have you in the adult world.
Yes. I mean, it was a long time coming to get to the adult world. There was that pivotal year where like somehow sales started happening when there hadn't been any, and everyone sort of collectively had an oh shit moment, which was actually like fun times. And like, I don't know, just sort of like one of the things that happened along the way for all of us. But I don't know. Now, probably collectively, I'm not the only one. People who have been around, sort of know how this works. Come tax time and everything, depending on where you're at or what country you've moved to, in order to avoid doing that. So yeah, I don't know. It's becoming slightly less stressful as also the software and shit has gotten like so much better. It was really like throwing darts back in the day.
What software did you end up using this year or for this year's taxes?
I use TokenTax, man, and I've been using it for years, and it does a pretty good job. And I think Trizlet put it on my radar like several years ago because some other very important entities leaned on it, so felt like it was good. But I think they all like pretty much generally work the same, and all of like the major ones, and like the tech is like reasonably refined in terms of just combing the blockchain, unless you're like really doing some like out there complicated shit. I don't know, man. What was your experience?
I'd used TokenTax before. They definitely weren't bad. I opted last year and then this year again to use Awaken Tax.
Okay.
And I think all the software is getting reasonably good, but I've just had the lowest amount of rework with Awaken. And then just really smartly added like AI powered like documentation tools for like non-EVM chains, like for Tezos and stuff like that. That made generating the CSVs that you need based on the on-chain transactions a cinch. Basically, and yeah, documented everything good. Really snappy service. support. So if you had any questions or something wasn't working for some reason, they were on it. They were helping like hold your hand through that process, which can potentially be like the most frustrating part about using this stuff. But other than that, it was a breeze, and then had everything in ahead of time, which was amazing. I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. And then Oregon, they have this policy called like a kicker, so that if the state coffers have extra unused tax funds sitting around after a couple years or something, they have to redistribute it back to the taxpayers. And this year's kicker surplus coincides with the bull market run from a couple years back. So yeah, tax season for the win. Very, very, very happy to get to claw some of those funds back.
Yeah, dude. That's awesome, man. I wish I got a kicker. But yeah, man, it's nice to be the market where it's at. And I should clarify, when I was like saying tax loss harvesting, I wasn't like just straight up dumping like a whole bunch of my valuable shit at like pennies or whatever. You know, there's like some, you know, ways to do it that we don't like really need to get into that are like perfectly legal and accepted and everything. But it just sort of comes from being around, honestly, and knowing how this shit works and all that kind of thing. So I don't know, man. This is not a territory that I knew, that I was sort of forced to educate myself in. And I'm glad that I did, even though it's like a pain in the ass to keep track of and all this shit. But I feel like much more mindful of and peace of mind. Sort of knowing how to maneuver a little bit better now.
Yeah. And it's like you just stack these learnings across the years. It makes it less painful, less daunting. Honestly, like the mindset for taxes is that anyone should be able to do this like by themselves in theory, right? And then for us, just having extra tools that are in our toolkit to take care of this. And again, like using an account, I always use an accountant regardless, pass them over everything. And then they take care of like the final mile or whatever. But yeah, it doesn't have to be super stressful. And the benefit of some of this tax software too is like through the year, as you're going through, like I do it quarterly, just kind of like refresh your wallets and then see where you're at. Sometimes it helps identify like, again, like some of those tax loss harvesting opportunities. Like if you had a big sale at a certain point in the year, you know, offset those gains by selling some things you paid a lot of money for back in the day that may not appreciate ever up until that point. So you can kind of lock in a lot of those profits more. But yeah, it's kind of fun, to be honest.
It is kind of fun. And you know, there's the interesting thing is you know, you have the opportunity to like sell at the bottom, but if you still, you know, want those things, you can buy back in at the bottom and, you know, sort of start fresh in a way and everything. Yeah. So, you know, the whole, you know, way to maneuver is a constant learning process. And I don't know, can probably get better, but I don't know. It's when I start nerding out at things, like it intrinsically, I tend to get better at them. And that was kind of fun to see the results of taking a few stabs at it this past year and everything.
Dragonite, we probably need to throw in like a NFA DBIOR interstitial right before we start talking about this, just in case. Not financial advice. Second thing is, yeah, like as you're doing this and like using this software, it's like, damn, like we're not too far away from a near perfect solution. And if there's any savvy governments out there listening, like, oh, how can I get my hands on some of these crypto gains? Just like literally make our lives easier paying taxes. And you should realize that paying crypto taxes should, in theory, be the easiest thing in the entire world. So like for folks that need to pay crypto taxes, make it easy for us and also give us a discount, because it's easy for you to get those funds, my friends. So yeah, that's a PSA for all the government officials.
Taxes are such a nightmare, man, and I feel like they really don't have to be. And a streamlined way to just pay, even if it was just crypto taxes, man, would just like be so less like just a weight off my mind, because that's where all the most complicated things come from, like every single year, you know, even though I'm getting better at it and everything, but it's just a headache. So yes, dude, I would like to co-sign on that statement request from fucking anybody who has any pull. So what else you've been up to, man? We got a cool whip coming up this week. We had a cool whip last week, man, thanks to Fabiano and Patrizia, like hooking it up with the game that they had set up that turned into a pretty dope scavenger hunt. But this week, man, you've been primarily in contact with Metageist. I don't know how much we want to reveal, but yeah, man, feel free to give people like a sneak peek on what to expect.
Yeah, real quick with last week, though, because it's been a while since we were in Sandbox, and has really been focusing on building out experiences in Sandbox. And we had like a Italy roof run game where we did exactly what the name implies. We jumped up on some Italian style voxel roofs and we're jumping around trying to collect coins for prizes. And yeah, it was during the dry run in practice at the beginning of the week, just trying to get the lay of the land before we get the whip day on Thursday. I was trying and failing terribly to run around and jump on these roofs. But luckily, I think Fabiano made some tweaks. He made some of the roofs a little bit less slippery. maybe for me, maybe for others. Huh?
It was treacherous.
Yeah, it was treacherous up on those roofs. But the whole experience was pretty much better than I was anticipating. I really, you know, for reasons like with Sandbox, like the years and years in development, I don't even know how many like quote unquote pre-sales they've run. It's like one of those projects where it's like had a lot of potential, squandered it a lot, and then just seemed to be in beta or like developing or not ready for prime time for a while. But that gameplay was pretty fun, not gonna lie. Yeah. And then I did like how Fabiano was able to kind of restrict access to the gaming space. Yes. Until we were all there live, and then he opened it for everyone at once.
Yes.
I thought that was a nice touch. Like there are some nice things about that gameplay that I was like, okay, maybe Sandbox is another one of these worlds that are back in play again for us to consider and to work with artists and game designers at this point. We should probably call them to do future whips. So I was pleasantly surprised with that.
No, dude, I'm glad you mentioned that because it's worth digging into. And I almost like forgot that we were in Sandbox because the experience was like very smooth and seems like something Fabiano would have made in CryptoVoxels. And the gaming element was great. We could like grab the things and bring them back to the beginning. It was easy to see like who got what and, you know, for a whole bunch of people running around and I agree, dude. It was a good experience. Dude, if it wasn't for Fabiano, I think Sandbox would be like pretty far off my radar at this point. Like I don't see it come up a ton and I don't I'm sure there's a community over there, but we don't seem too directly connected with them or them to us at this point with what's going on over there. So it's cool, man. So did we ever get clarification? Hidden Forces was like trying to get in and was saying that he needed sand in order to get into Sandbox, and then
got drained. He was clicking a rogue link. That is, yeah, he almost got like drained. So you don't need any sand to be able to log in. You just need to log into or download the client and jump in world that way, and it's totally free. You can like link and associate your wallets and stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Well, shout out Hidden Forces, like nearly getting drained for the past few weeks getting into some of these places. Like I remember when with Nifty Island a few weeks back, Hidden was having some problems too.
Dude, Hidden Forces, man, be careful out there. It's a
Hidden the correct links, I think, ahead of the show to avoid that situation.
Oh, dude, I feel like it's getting worse, which it always happens when the market starts like heating up and everything, but like my DMs are just a mess of like fake accounts asking me to do like interviews and appear on things and everything. What's that?
Ton of fake interview requests. And they're like, oh, check out this link randomly to get ready. It's like, nope.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Dude, it's like just crazy the amount of like, you know, landmines out here. And I don't want to like stir rumors or whatever, but I feel like I saw something about someone getting baited into something on Warpcast the other day within a frame that linked them to something or whatever that was malicious, or like, you know, gave someone access to post or something that they weren't aware of or some shit, man. And again, I didn't dig enough to like really confirm or, you know, deny what like exactly happened, but that's like always been like a point of concern of mine, or like a, you know, the ease of like dropping links and clicking through links on there is I don't know, man, gives me like anxiety. And I find myself like, even with like accounts that I know, like double checking that a bot hasn't taken them over or like some, you know, fucking really weird shit isn't going on. You know, so that just sort of came up in conversation of the scams and everything. Although my experience on Warpcast has been like very positive lately. If we want to move on to that at some point, but the scam shit, man, is really getting worse and worse.
Yeah, no, it's a good PSA. It is scam season, and a few folks were talking about getting drained yesterday. David Feinstein was replying to someone Ben Roy, who had got hit somehow, lost like low five figs or something like that. Both of them, it seemed like, yeah, that was about the amount. Again, just scam coins, a little bit too degenny, a little bit too tired at the moment, not like fully checking anything. Yeah, just got to stay vigilant. When you feel you're tired, maybe you step away from degenning for a little bit, come back. The DM scams are increasing. So if you have any little like public visibility, people be like, oh, from so and so outlet, like want to talk, giving you links, don't click any of these damn links. Twitter sort of makes it easier. Like I love how they surface like who, like what mutuals you have with certain accounts.
Yes, it's very helpful.
Yeah, like honestly, that's been what I look at first now. And then it's really obvious when there's zero mutuals. It's like, all right, this is a scam. You can almost like by default make that assumption. So that's been good. But the Warpcast thing, because we're like, again, you have this potential false sense of security, because a lot of people have linked their ENSs, but like if someone's ENS is compromised, like that's definitely like some people can start doing malicious things, I'm assuming, right? Because if they have access to the ENS, I mean, yeah.
I think the way, like, I really like the way that Warpcast populates links, but I also think it just lends itself, the way, because it's so seamless, it just lends itself to someone malicious taking advantage of that if, you know, it hasn't happened already. So I feel like it's a great feature, but it's also like, you know, potentially a slippery slope type of thing.
Yeah, no. Yeah. And then I'm just like thinking through how someone, like if their ENS is compromised, I still think they'd probably be safe as long as they don't get like SIM swapped and like the actual access via the app getting in there and the seed phrase behind. I think that's probably actually like a reasonable layer of safety. But yeah, like all these fucking quote unquote frames that link out to other sites, it's like, stop it. Just like, first of all, don't make those frames. Just keep them as a hyperlink.
Yeah.
And then like try to make frames that keep you in the feed, right? So that there's like that added degree, at least in my mind, of some safety. And also just being like a much better UX of doing things in frame, in feed. It's still super annoying seeing all those links out. Quite frustrating, actually.
No, it's like, and then it's like basically the purpose of the frame is to be a hyperlink, like at that point. So, you know, what is the point of having a frame around it? Yeah, man, maybe that's like sort of the solution there. There are certain things that just really don't require frames for anything, and they don't really add anything to the whatever. But I don't know, man. I mean, you know, Warpcast is a, you know, work in progress, obviously, you know, and I appreciate the fact that they're sort of experimenting in real time, and they added some feature that breaks down notifications in like a nice little organized way, which I like actually like. But I also, it also, some of the things I see there, man, and sometimes just seeing posts from friends that I would never see on Twitter that even though we follow each other and everything, you know, I just sometimes I'm just like, the fuck are we doing on Twitter, man? Twitter like sucks so, so bad. And, you know, if it didn't have like the reach that it does, it's just such an awful platform compared to something like what Warpcast is in its current form, which is, you know, not a perfect system or anything, but it just seems like it's got so many better things going for it that like just the simple notification organizer, like why couldn't Twitter have done that? Like, fucking years ago. Like there's some very basic, you know, UI things that would like, you know, greatly enhance people's experience, but you know, it just got pushed to the wayside, or, you know, I don't know, man, it seems like they stopped innovating and just started like tinkering with the algo at some point. So I don't know, man, but it's good, man. It's in a lot of ways, Warpcast feels like a breath of fresh air, as long as I don't get rugged on it at some point.
No, yeah, it's, dude, the energy, you're feeling another kind of surge coming. The follower increasing has been great. Like, shout out, you got that badge thingy. I'm not exactly sure what it does, but I got the badge thingy.
For what it's worth.
You lost it?
Yeah, I don't know how I got it or how I lost it. So,
you know. Oh, well, I mean, still, it like, you had it at least.
Yeah, I got a post out of it.
Yeah. He got some content from it. But yeah, the followers keep coming. Like the engagement on the post, like if we compare our Twitter followers with engagement that we get over there versus over Warpcast, like Warpcast is kind of outperforming, like based on like percentage of followers. And there's like, I don't know, it's still fun. At least for me, I can let my crypto flag fly a little bit way higher on Warpcast and like dig into all that. And then again, like the minting experience for people that actually set up proper minting frame experiences is great. Like, I guess in the past week, the big drop that I was pretty excited about and like the great in-frame minting experience was from Sergeant, I think Slatermelon or Slaughtermelon. Not exactly sure how to pronounce their name. Is a release that they at least worked on or incorporated the work of iteration. And then again, another name I can't pronounce, but PFEFF unit helped design the minting frame. And what it was sort of like a hybrid approach because it was more than what they could charge for a low cost or free mint, with warps or whatever. So they had people pop over real quick to a dedicated collection page. You could fund what it seemed like a tank with some credits. You pay some like 0.01 ETH for a credit. You go back to Warpcast and then you go through the minting flow in frame again. And as long as you had purchased some credits, then you can mint however many outputs as you want. It was a nice generative play. You could keep re-rolling to get new outputs, and it had that sort of like Windows 95 aesthetic to the outputs.
I've been posting about that. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, Workstation 95 is the name of the project or the collection, and it was just fun. And then, like, if you had those credits, it was an easy minting experience. And in my mind, I'm like, damn, I would love to fund a tank that could be used on any in-frame minting experience, so that you could pay more money for things heading forward. But jumping on a call with FFUnit today just to talk about the nuts and bolts of how we got that minting frame together, because that was also a fun minting experience. And you'd love to see that sort of innovation and the builders kind of coming together and elevating what's possible. And that's, again, part of like the bullish thesis on Warpcast. It's a cool protocol that a lot of people can run with and make better by either doing what like FFUnit did together with Slaughtermelon, or yeah, creating another service that lets artists upload more high res pictures and stuff like that. It's fucking cool, man.
Yeah, dude, it is cool. And it's a lot of like old scent vibes, honestly, in terms of like, you know, the audience that is there is a higher level Web3 audience than that you're talking to on Twitter. And there's not a whole lot of people like outside of that sphere just there for like the social funsies, or at least they don't really like pop up on my like radar too much, which and if they're there too, that's fucking great, but I don't want them popping up on my radar. Like, I want to see the people's shit who I want to see and I'm following and everything. And so that's it's a big difference, man. And like the audience that I feel like, you know, I'm engaging with on Twitter, even though there's like a bunch of overlap in terms of, you know, people from that community as well. But I feel like it's just only people from that community. And I still get like a pretty significant, like wider reach on Twitter, but it's a better reach on Warpcast. And one thing that fucking drives me, sorry, go ahead, man.
No, that was a great point.
Yeah. But the one thing that I feel like I do almost get equivalent reach on is when I post links to exterior platforms or something. Like, you know, I've been just doing some experiments, you know, with the WIP YouTube channel, you know, and as I'm posting videos, sometimes I'll post one on Twitter, sometimes I'll post one on Warpcast. And then I can see like on the back end, which, you know, is getting more engagement and more views and everything. And then I know where I posted them and can sort of, you know, just run in social media experiments and everything. And it's fucking ridiculous, man, that like, you know, the views on Warpcast are just the same as the views on YouTube. And like, for example, there was a recent one that I posted, about Pranksyland, man, had like, I don't know, something around like 3,500 impressions on Twitter, and really only like a handful of views. It really only translated to a handful of views on YouTube. And if I post something on Warpcast, you know, I'll get a handful of likes. I'll get a handful of like recasts or whatever. But really the views that are generated from Warpcast are about the same, and like in some cases even better than the reach that I'm getting posting them on Twitter, when in theory they're going a lot farther. But like, I don't know, something is, you know, people, I don't know, something's like fucked with the algo over there. And then on top of that, man, I feel like, and I feel like this has actually been confirmed, but it sure feels like it if it hasn't been, that like Twitter sort of nerfs your like algo experience if you post too many exterior links to things. Yeah. And so, you know, not only does it sort of suppress that initial post, but you sort of get penalized moving forward if you do it too many times. And so, like, I'm like, I got a lot of links to fucking cool shit, man, that I, you know, I have to find creative ways to post on Twitter. Like, you know, when we post stuff for the WIP each week, and there's direct links to Meme Explorer's Discord and HyperFi, you know, I have to put that in a separate post that's like linked to it in order to like, you know, so they don't get totally fucked by the algo. And there's all this dumb shit that you have to do. And it's really nice that on Warpcast, I can just like post a cool link to something somewhere that I genuinely just want to show people, and not have to worry about like getting screwed by the algorithm or like people not really seeing it. Like, you know, I'll be able to post my next post just fine, even if it's another link somewhere or something. And to not have to play this like fucking bullshit like algorithm game. Yeah. And just be able to like post like content that you think people will like, or that you like is, I don't know, something that I feel like I like forgot was a thing, like to not have to do that dance. And, it's really fucking nice.
It definitely feels good, right? To be able to like link without worrying about that. It's, you just worry about less bullshit is what I'm finding. Like on the whole, like Twitter is definitely a little bit more public facing, more people are on there, obviously. So it, in a way, it feels a lot like LinkedIn to me. So just like more mindful of what I'm sharing, resharing, blah, 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 interacting with, on top of like the algorithm kind of like gymnastics that you have to do if you want to sort of get some visibility and not get shadow banned or not have like posts hit from most of your followers. So yeah, but again, cool, good signal all around. Oh, but dude, before we jumped into this tangent, we're talking about the upcoming, or we were potentially going to talk about the upcoming WIP tomorrow.
We should. I don't know what's going on, even though that was a great tangent.
Yeah. So Bay and Metageist kind of teamed up with Fractillions. It looks like they're bringing in the spatial contingent. So artists like Matthias C, amongst others. And they has the first portion of the show, which will be with Spatial Crew. It looks like we'll be in On Cyber. And the space looks great. That's all I know there. There's probably going to be a little bit of a round table, looking at some really cool activations in world. So if you are a fan of what Bay's been doing on that front, working with like Meshfair and all that, definitely swing through, because I'm sure she's bringing some fire. And then, in honor of the upcoming Havening, Metageist has crafted a brand new gaming experience in Nifty Island. I think he's still putting some finishing touches on right now, but he has some avatars or wearables that he's giving away, some other prizes, and just a whole new gaming experience that is designed with the Havening in mind. So excited to play that game. Metageist is a master, as we all know, with game design and all of that. So excited to play that. I refrain from looking at the work in progress as he's building it, because I just want to be surprised in the moment tomorrow during the whip and see what he's been cooking up.
Oh, dude, whatever we did to like absorb Metageist into the whip crew and Fractalians and get in good with Bay, I don't know, man, the crypto gods smiled upon us when those three got involved with us. And I feel like that's like, I don't know, there's sort of like becoming a squad, or maybe like I'm calling them a squad for the first time now. But man, when Metageist teaming up with Bay for the Art Week thing that we were at like several weeks ago, his display was just so dope. And man, every time I feel like we put the whip in like Bay's hands, like you just know it's going to be a completely different but like killer experience each time around, man. So I can't say enough like good things about Bay, and I don't know, man, our squad is so dope, man. This is like a, you know, banging the same drum over and over again, but like, you know, sometimes I feel like we just got to stand back and like just be in awe of like the skill set that we have amongst our crew and everything, because you know, we do some of the dopest shit out there, and a lot of it is like, you know, largely influenced, produced, inspired by you know, the people we roll with and everything. So dude, I'm stoked for this.
Yeah, no, and again, it's one of those things that comes together because Metageist and Bay reached out and they're like, hey, we have this cool thing, is it cool to do it this upcoming whip? And we're like, yeah. Fuck yeah, go with it. And this is literally how it comes together. So if you come to the whip tomorrow and you have an awesome time, like, and then you have an idea in the future, just hit us up. This is how these things work.
Dude, these are the best things too, right? When you get like, and you know, to be fair, we to pat ourselves on the back. I feel like we do a pretty good job of like curating guests too. When we see someone doing something interesting and we're like, you know, our audience would vibe with this, we do a pretty good job of like doing outreach and getting those people on there. But inbound is better. It's not better, man, but inbound is great because you get people who are genuinely excited to be on the whip, you know, be featured on the whip, show off their thing to our audience. And so there's like a level of excitement that, you know, always comes with people who hit you up. And, you know, after this week, we've got Cyber Brokers on, which is, you know, sort of came across us with that type of vibe. Kartarl hit us up and was like, you know, let's schedule a whip that, you know, Cyber Brokers can take over and do the whole thing. And it's like, dude, fucking hell yeah, man. Like, you know, almost like, you know, unless you're some like really sus scammy project or some shit that we've never heard of, like, you know, people who are doing awesome shit who like, you know, want a stage and, you know, want to hang out in front of our audience and do cool shit. Like you said, man, that's what this is made for. So, yeah, just co-signing what you said, man. Like if people like what we want to do and, you know, want to get on the calendar and do something awesome with us, the door is open.
Yep. No, amen. Yeah. So we got a good week, man. Good week. Yeah. Already in the works, almost over at this point, but excited for tomorrow. And then,
And
the Havening.
Back to like the normal shit, man. It's nice like recording with you. It's nice having the whip this week. Fucking traveling is great, but also fucking exhausting. And it's nice to be like, I don't know, feels like literally at home, but like also like, you know, virtually at home too.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Boom. I think that's... Oh, dude, you've been doing some work with AI and music, which I feel like is going to birth a whole bunch of new theme songs for The Whip, potentially. But you want to talk about that? Because I think MetaGuys kind of kicked this off with...
MetaGuys definitely kicked this off.
Yeah. The Mocha interview that we did made a song about it, and I was like, oh, shit, that's like... It's kind of a banger. And then you started doing the same thing. But yeah, like... What's that been like? How easy actually is that?
It's not that hard. I mean, there's a little bit of a learning curve, but it's like super fun, man. And yes, MetaGuys, shout out to MetaGuys who absolutely kicked this off. And he was talking about the song that he made living rent free in his head. And to this day, that song that he made, people should look it up. It's so good. And you know, somewhat self-indulgent because it was inspired by our conversation and everything, but it's also like inspired by The Whip. And just like captures so much of the essence of like all of our shit. And it's got like a silly, catchy, upbeat like vibe. But dude, when I saw that, I was like, dude, that is incredible, man. It just like blew my mind that that could be like conjured up. And it was good, right? Like you said, it was a banger, man. And with lyrics and a beat and like, you know, he chose the genre and all this stuff. And I was like, dude, that level of customization blew my mind. So I immediately started like fucking around with the program Suno.com, Suno.com. And it's just super fun, man. I made a Matt song. You can literally type in any genre that you want and it'll, you know, carve up some lyrics for you based on the prompts you type into it. And so
how long can the prompts be? Like how much can you feed it of whatever?
There might be a character count, but I haven't hit it, man. I basically just been like, I did a bunch. I slid into Dragonate's DMs with one for him and Foxy Yoga, Brookhawk, a few other people. There's like a daily amount of credits that I've been burning through, pretty quickly. So I, you know, been staggering them out, but I'm down to make theme songs. It's pretty fun. But yeah, with not much, it can do a lot, man. I made a Meme Explorers anthem and I basically just, you know, copy pasted some information from their Twitter and like added some jargon that, you know, I know they're, you know, working on for their season zero and just hit generate lyrics. So I assume you can add like a whole bunch of shit, but then when you hit generate lyrics, it'll spit out something that is like appropriate, you know, for a song or whatever. It will just read your own lyrics if you wanted to do that, but that's not my specialty. I'm like, you know, just spin up some shit based on this. And you know, man, dude, the one that I made for you, is one of my favorites, man. It like really came out good. And, with a lot of them, there are like some subtle flaws in like pronunciation that you can tinker with, with like modifying the spelling and, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, so they're not perfect, but they're pretty fucking good. So yeah, man, I feel like anytime something like this like really grabs my attention, yeah, I feel like, you know, it's the start of something like very interesting. Just the potential of this technology, you know, being unlocked and, you know, was making everything. I made a whip like folk song that, you know, just again, just messing around with different genres and seeing like what it would come out with. And I'm like, dude, this is a pretty fucking good folk song. Like, it's like, I don't know, man. It's really just fun. I'm not doing anything very serious with it, but it has grabbed my attention just because all the AI stuff is like really fascinating to me, and this is like a really interesting like combination of a lot of the technologies sort of packaged up into one thing. You know, seamlessly, instead of having to like, you know, generate the text and then you generate the beat and then you, you know, all this shit and then like combine the whole thing. So it's exciting to see the tech progressing where you're getting these like packaged products that are like a hybrid of all these different AI tools in one, just sort of doing it for you. So, you know, that's what I'm all about, man. I don't want to make high effort songs. I just want to punch in some prompts and, you know, put it to a sick beat.
Low effort songs for the win. Oh, that was awesome. As soon as I listened to it, just put a huge smile on my face too. I'm like, oh, this is dope.
It's so good. Yeah, man. So, you know, look out for Rizzlefest theme song coming up. I haven't made it yet, but that, you know, it's inevitable. You know, anyone else is it really wants one, you know, slide into my DMs. I'm genuinely enjoying it. So yeah. I don't know, man. That's about all there is to it. Is me tinkering with weird stuff and having a good time.
Awesome, dude. Well, probably a good place to wrap up there. And for everyone listening in, thank you for listening to the end, and see you at the whip tomorrow.
Hell yeah. See y'all.
Boom.
Later, man.
The NFA DYOR at the beginning should be fine. Other than that, I think we're fine.
I think we're fine. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Cool. And Jago, if we're not fine, let us know.
Yeah, it's on you, man.
It's all on you.
Bitch.
All right.
Later, y'all.